If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to the Lorehounds Podcast. We are your guides to the Grand Line. I'm John, head of marketing for Binx's Brew.
And I'm Alicia, full-time dry cleaner to Captain Smoker. And this is our coverage of Netflix's live-action One Piece season two, episodes 1 through 3.
We're going to do spoilers just through this episode. So just through season 2, episode 3. And we'll be talking some light spoilers for the corresponding anime manga episodes. Just to, you know, let you know what you're missing. If you want to get in contact with us, how can they do that, Alicia?
Well, you can send an email to onepiece@thelorehounds.com. And we're also chatting on about One Piece on the dedicated channel on our Discord server, which you can find in the link tree in the show notes.
Very cool. Now, if you want to support us, you can always subscribe to our Patreon, which is linked in the show notes. Or if you don't want to spend money, but you still want to support us, you can always use more ratings on Apple Podcasts.
Nice ones, preferably. Yay.
Well, you know, I can't tell them what to do, but maybe I'll sing Binx's Brew for them and that'll make them rate us poorly.
Laboon.
Poor Laboon. All right. Spoilers abound. What'd you think, Alicia?
Okay. So full spoilers?
Full spoilers for where we're at.
Okay. Through the first 3 episodes, because I have not yet watched further. So
yes, I haven't either, actually. I mean, obviously I know a lot because of the anime, but no, I haven't watched further in the live action.
Yeah, I mean, this was a great start to the season. I did get spoiled for me in advance that there was a new character coming, and I recognized the actress because she was on Bridgerton. As soon as she showed up, I was like, oh, somehow she's going to work her way into the cruise. But I'm glad that that happened by the end of these first 3 episodes so that, you know, I'm not, no thoughts about that anymore. And honestly, I do know what another few characters who look like show, you know, a few more characters who show up this season. I know what they look like from promotional materials, but I don't know much about their significance. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. And the Laboon story especially really touched me. I'm excited about the new princess in the crew. This is, I guess, what you were sort of hinting at when I said I was talking about the token female crew member. And you said, well, wait.
Sort of. I'll just, we'll just keep that under wraps a little bit longer.
Okay.
probably be out this season, actually.
Oh, okay. Because I know, I mean, it seems like the crew gets really big, because I know of at least one other crew member that shows up that I won't spoil, but I know what this crew member looks like.
It's never super big, at least the main crew. It's, but there are definitely a number of other members.
Does this mean somebody's going to die?
What do you mean?
Do characters die?
Well, I will say that the stakes are real. I don't want to reveal if people live or die, but the show does try to be a little bit realistic on the risk of being a pirate.
Oh. Is it Laboon? Does Laboon die?
No, I will spoil that. Laboon is still alive where I'm at in the anime, like 800 okay. episodes in. Are you done with your hot takes, by the way?
Yeah, you go.
Okay. I will say with Laboon, I was not expecting it to hit me very hard because they flash back to that episode like 8 times in the anime. They're just like, and here's what happened with Laboon. And we're like, okay, we get that, you know, that we like that one. But yeah.
I do have questions about like the magic paint on his nose that somehow doesn't wash off.
Just, you got to hand wave that away.
Yeah. It's like
there's
the magic,
a lot of hand waving
changing
in this yeah. show. Yeah, it's there for reasons.
Okay.
And so that one, I thought they did a really good job of. I thought they did a really good job on all three of these arcs that they did. A lot of them were pretty close. Of course, they cut out a lot of, you know, little moments within. They did a lot of winking and nodding at things that happened in the anime that they took a different direction here, which I thought was funny. And I'll point that out when we get there. I really liked, you know, I always talk about like, you know, key moments where you have to sell an adaptation. I thought in season one, their key moment was when Nami begs for help from Luffy and he just puts the hat on her head and just goes, you know, that is a key moment, a key character moment for the characters in season one. A key character moment in season two so far is Luffy smiling in the face of death. That they had to nail that to nail Monkey D. Luffy. And I almost think that Inaki is, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, is to Luffy as Sam Reed is to Lestat. Like he is possessed by the character.
Yeah. No, I mean, I commented on this when we talked about season one, but here you see it more that like this, there's a slightly more unhinged aspect that's kind of seeping in a little bit, and you can see why some people might be like, uh-oh. But it's also because, you know, the actor is aging. Like I saw a video somewhere and he's like, well, now that I'm 22, I'm like, oh, shut up. But you know, seriously, he looks less and less like a teenager. And, yeah. You know, that adds an edge also to his emoting.
That and man, I am so worried about them getting that far in the series because of, you know, the amount of time it takes to make these shows. It did take us a long time to get to season two just because of the writer's strike. So hopefully this can be an annual release going forward. I think they're already filming season three in Cape Town right now.
Okay, good.
So
good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's also why they chose actors, as we talked about last time, who are in their 20s and not teens, because they are... the changes won't be as dramatic.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say a lot more, but I want to save it for the specific section. So why don't we get right into it? You want to alternate paragraphs here?
Sounds good.
You first.
Okay. The beginning and the end. In a flashback, we see Gold Roger and Vice Admiral Garp have their last meeting, in which Roger asks Garp to protect his son from the sins of his father. Garp doesn't give an answer one way or the other. In the present, we see Ms. All Sunday, number 2 of Baroque Works, attack the Marines of Shellstown. She acquires a new target, Monkey D. Luffy.
The Straw Hats are ready to go to the Grand Line. But first, they need supplies. They visit Loguetown, the place of Gold Roger's beginning and end, just in time for his death day celebrations. Zoro and his new friend Tashigi shop for new swords. His luck lets him walk away with 2 swords for free, even if one of them is cursed. Sanji buys the biggest fish he can find, and Nami goes on a shopping spree.
Luffy goes immediately to the execution platform with the help of local thief Bartolomeo. He is intercepted by Buggy and the newly powered up Alvida. He gets caught and put on trial in the court of Buggy's circus, where he is sentenced to death. Buggy brings Luffy to the execution platform, and the other Straw Hats fight and narrowly defeat Buggy's crew and Alvida. Before Buggy can bring his sword down, Luffy smiles in the face of death, shocking Captain Smoker. Buggy's sword is struck by lightning, and Luffy is saved. So, okay, question. A couple questions, but let's start with, is Zoro lucky in the way that Matt Cawthon is lucky in the Wheel of Time?
Nothing that explicit.
Okay.
This is actually the only time that Zoro's luck came up in the anime. I don't know why. It's not going to be a thing. I'll say that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I did enjoy that. Did you like that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I like, yeah, that whole exchange with the swords and stuff. And yeah, that was, and just, you know, anime ridiculousness where I knew when he was going to test the swords that he was going to like, I don't know, do something like that, throw it in the air and let the fates decide. But it seems like the fates are on their side, because we also talk about Buggy Sword getting struck by lightning and Luffy is saved.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a big question, right? Like, is this fate? Is this somebody intervening? Is this, you know, just luck? Who knows? I still don't know where I'm at. These are like lingering questions that will go through the rest of the series. Like, why is this crew still going, right? This crew led by this like very silly man. Why is it succeeding so hard?
Also, I didn't realize that Ms. All Sunday is number two in Baroque Works.
She's okay. This is going to be confusing. She's not number two. The men are named with right. numbers.
No. I know. But I mean, like, with, yeah, that she is second in command.
Well, I know that Netflix advertised her like that in the marketing, so I don't think that's a spoiler. But yes, she is the second in command in Baroque Works.
Okay. So the men are named with numbers and the women are named with days of the week or something.
Or days of the week or holidays. There's like...
Okay.
There's, yeah. It's because you run out of names, out of days of the week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it's notable she's all Sunday. She's not just part of Sunday. She's all of it.
And you only get a number. I don't remember where it cuts off, but only the top people get numbers and names. Everyone else, they're called the billions. They're just, hasn't been revealed in the show, the names of them, but I don't think that's a big spoiler. They call them in the anime the billions, and those are all the underlings. Because there's plenty of people in Baroque Works, but most of them don't have names.
Right, right.
At least special cool code names. So, yeah. Are you intrigued by the Baroque Works mystery? You know, this seems to be the thread of this season.
I mean, I guess the mystery is... who is in charge and what are they after?
Yeah. You know, and we did hear, I think it was in this episode, it might have been in the next episode, that the Kingdom of Alabasta is currently like teetering on the edge of revolution. So we know that something is happening with that based on Vivi's reveal.
Wait, and is that Miss Wednesday's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Her kingdom is currently about to fall to revolution.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems like there's, you teased me with these wider world politics and we're getting glimpses of it. And I'm looking forward to there being more. I do continue to think that they're doing a good job in the way they handle the lore, where it feels like I'm getting it. You know, I mean, it feels like I'm getting lore, but it also feels like I'm grokking it, you know. I think they're doling it out at the right pace for people like me who are coming into this fresh.
Yeah, I think they're doing a good job revealing it. Like, for example, we get the big reveal of Sea Prism Stone this episode, right? There is a stone that you can use on Devil Fruit users that acts like the ocean to them.
Oh, I kind of missed that, to be honest.
Oh, well, so that's why Luffy was so weak.
Okay.
And they do a whole bit there. He's like, Sea Prism Stone. It's just like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The ocean, no, there was a stone. That's right. That's right. It's been a few days since I watched.
That's all right. Yeah. So Sea Prism Stone, if you missed it, like Alicia, is a stone that is made of sea prism, and which is some kind of mineral that acts like the ocean for Devil Fruit users. So if you, if the Marines are capturing a devil fruit user, or if other pirates are, they'll put them in devil fruit bindings, or they'll make a cage out of, out of sea prism bindings, or they'll make a cage out of sea prism stone. That way they can't use their powers to escape.
Okay. Okay.
And it makes them all like weak too, just like the sea would. That's why they can't swim. They get all weak.
It's so ironic to become a pirate if you're a devil fruit eater.
That's the trade-off, right? And but you know what Brandon Sanderson always says in his writing lectures is he says the limitations of a power are more interesting than what it can do. And I was like, that's cool, and I agree with that. So I'm glad that there is a big drawback to devil fruit users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Because otherwise, it would just be like, why wouldn't everyone eat it?
Exactly. That you have to make a decision there.
Yeah, especially since this seems to be a world where, you know, our world is what, like 75% water or something? And we still at least have vast continents. They only seem to have little islands as far as we've seen.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any non-island area here. It's like Earthsea, right? It's an archipelago.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery of who is Roger's son. What do you think about that going on?
I mean, I'm assuming it's like when we get these teases, I assume it has to be someone that we know. And so I jump to the conclusion that this is related to Luffy.
The show is definitely signaling that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's true or false, I will not confirm or deny.
Because also, especially since he asked, was it in this episode where he asked the Admiral or whatever, Garp, to take him on? And so that seems to be how he came to be a guardian of Luffy.
Could be.
Maybe. Maybe.
Could be. I can't confirm. I can't confirm.
Okay.
We do have two smokers saying, like, I've only seen one other person smile in the face of death on that execution stand.
Right.
And that is Gold Roger.
Mm-hmm. Like father, like son. Oh, I want to see we did see the casting of Gold Roger. I want to see who Luffy's mom is then.
I don't think I've even seen Luffy's mom.
What?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a thing. It's all right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, 800 episodes in, not a single shot of Luffy's mom.
Okay.
So,
is it going to be Alvida?
Yeah. Oh, jinx. What do you think about Alvida's return?
I guess I kind of expected it. Yeah, it's fun that she having her and Buggy team up. That seems like a natural alliance. I hope they're happy together.
They're both just the scorn exes of Monkey D. Luffy start to form, right? Is like, right. Why is this kid beating us up so much?
It's like if Louis and Armand teamed up against Lestat.
Oh, don't say that. I can't
sorry.
Have that happening.
No. Only kind of does sometimes. It's, you know, Buggy should have his own crew too. Of not just like, I want Buggy to have actual friends. Maybe he'll be nicer. He seems like he needs some hugs.
He definitely does. Alvida just seems like unpleasant.
Yeah.
You know, maybe now with Buggy's crew, she'll be nicer too.
Maybe. Maybe they all just need community and then they'll all be good pirates. What does being a pirate mean to Luffy, do you think? Like, what is, other than sailing around, what does he think makes him a pirate and not a sailor?
I'm going to say this because I don't want to spoil, but I think that his core philosophy is important. He sees piracy as his path to freedom. He wants to be the most free person in the world, be able to do anything he wants at any time. And he wants everybody else to also be free. And he thinks that being a pirate is being free. And he learned that from Shanks.
Okay. I'm eager to see Shanks show up again because we were left with that tease at the end of last season.
Yeah. I can't go too deep into it, okay. But anyway, he's a great character. I really like him every time he's on screen. That's what I'll say.
I like, that GoldenEye's the way he was used as sort of this taunting thing for Zorro, like driving him on to practice and all that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was trying to think of who you were talking about, Golden Eyes. Yeah, that is...
I forget his real name. Mihawk,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That is Mihawk. And yeah, he lives in his head rent-free.
Yeah. No, but he's using it in a motivating way, as long as it doesn't get unhealthy. And it's nice to see Mihawk because he has a cool look with the golden eyes and his, like, his, the big fuck off sword and then the little stupid half dagger. It's just the contrast is
I know, brilliant. It's so funny. You know, so this is something that they're doing in the show, in the live action show that I think is good, is they are bringing in late game characters early.
Mm.
And so Mihawk does show up early in the anime, but what the anime will do is it will show you a character, display how badass they are, and then they go away for 500 episodes. And the show is doing a better job of saying, like, let's just work them in more so people don't forget who they are, and maybe so we can keep the actors on the payroll so they don't find new gigs.
Yeah, both of those things are important. And just for regular viewers, you know, we want to invest in characters and have them stick around as much as possible.
It's tough with live action shows. You really need to weave people in a little bit more. Did you enjoy the death scene, the execution scene in general? Buggy getting blown away and Luffy, like what were your thoughts with Luffy, you know, being like, sorry guys, guess I'm dead.
Yeah, that it, I mean, it does show a little, we're seeing a sort of extreme recklessness in Luffy that you wonder if it could become dangerous to people around him as well. I think that it seems like he really didn't care in that moment whether he lived or died, which is a little worrying.
It's interesting, right? Because he does fight to the last moment. And then but once he realizes there's no other way, that's when he lets a calm come over him and smiles.
Yeah.
So I would say he is reckless. I will say that. Like, he's reckless. He falls into crappy situations all the time. But he does at least fight to live until he's like, all right, well, fighting isn't going to do me anything. I'll go out with a smile on my face. And I like that a lot.
Okay. Well, can I ask you, what's the navigator's name again?
Nami.
Can I ask you, what is up with Nami charging Zoro for borrowing money and nobody else? What is the deal with them?
She just does that. I think Zoro was the only one without money in general that wanted to buy things. Because he wanted to buy expensive stuff, right? Whereas, you know what it was is she, I think she said it, right? Like, Zoro was just buying swords for himself and Sanji was buying food for the crew.
Yeah, but I mean, it was also a good point that the swords protect all of them.
Right, but Nami also just wants money. So you just have to, anytime she can make an excuse to make extra money,
okay,
she will do it. She did the exact same thing in the anime. I feel like they just did that to kind of make us chuckle.
Right. Okay. Like, what does she have against Zoro in particular?
Yeah, it's not against Zoro. I think it's just, you know, she's a schemer. Bartolomeo. Any thoughts on him? The character design was insane. They kept his weird design from the anime.
Well, so at the end, it looked like he had fangs. Is he a vampire?
No, he just has those.
Okay.
this is what I mean. Like, they just kept, like, the weirdest shit.
I just wondered if, like, the way they showed him at the end, it was like there's some significance, like, remember this character, or just the way he was throughout. I was like, oh, this seems like a character who might have some significance in the future.
He disappears for about 700 episodes in the anime.
Okay. I mean, because I'm wondering, because obviously right after this, they leave the East Blue, right? So that makes it harder to see the people who live in the East Blue.
Well, he's got 700 episodes to get there, so it's okay.
Okay.
I think all you have to remember is he was really admiring Luffy by the end.
Oh, bomb chicka wow wow.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
Not in a romantic way. Remember, they're not allowed to have romantic relationships, according to Oda.
Okay, fine. But I can see why, with the questions I was asking earlier, I know there are people who want, like, who I've seen people talking about wanting Nami and Zoro to get together. I was like, is that like an enemies to lovers situation? But no.
It could be enemies, all, but there are no lovers.
Oh, hopes dashed. There can be no love in this world.
No. Well, there's a lot of love, just not romantic love with the Straw Hats.
Okay.
Ready to go to Good Whale Hunting, which I didn't realize was the name of the episode until I made this outline, and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
All right. You want to read it?
The Straw Hats reach Reverse Mountain, a mountain with a current that brings you up and lets you reach the Grand Line. They make it through in time to be swallowed by Laboon, the whale. Luffy is the only one not swallowed. He meets Crocus, the elderly caretaker of Laboon. Crocus tells Luffy that the Rumbar pirate crew left the whale under his care when they learned he wouldn't be able to survive in the Grand Line. They promised to come back, but it was many years ago. Now Laboon keeps trying to break through the Red Line and continuously hurts himself. Inside Laboon, the Straw Hats meet Ms. Wednesday and Mr. Nine, two agents of Baroque Works. They defeat and capture them. Luffy recognizes a song Laboon's pirates used to sing to him, and Luffy puts on his best performance of Binks Brew. He wins the heart of Laboon, gets his friends released, paints his flag on Laboon's head, and promises to return. Crocus helps Nami with Grand Line navigation, and Garp assigns Smoker to the Grand Line, where he will hunt down Baroque Works. Okay, so a question about Laboon. Why is he ramming his head into the Red Line when didn't, like, the others continue on to the Grand Line? Why doesn't he try to swim out that way to find them?
It's a good question. So I'm going to pull up a map here of One Piece. I'll send you the map. They came, I believe, also from the East Blue.
Mm-hmm.
So they came from the East Blue, and you'll see that they went up that little narrow strait into Reverse Mountain, and mm-hmm. they came down into the Grand Line, Paradise part of the Grand Line. Because of that, the red line goes north to south, right? So that was in the way. So they went over the Red Line, and so he wanted to break through the Red Line. He didn't realize it was like such a massive geographical.
Wait, where's the Red Line? This is
the Red
more
Line
complicated.
Is north to south.
Okay, this is a more complicated map than I. So the Red Line is that land mass north to south that has then the Reverse Mountain in the middle of
right.
it.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Okay. So he doesn't know. So where did his crew go? They went. So Grand Line Paradise
section. Yeah.
Isn't that where Crocus is?
Yeah, Crocus is I mean, maybe it's because they went maybe he's putting his head into it because they came from the East Blue. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's just not explained that well, and I'm doing a bad job explaining it.
No, I guess that they just he wants to go back to where he came from. I don't know. Okay, so what? Remind me again why they can't just cross the Calm Belt?
Okay, the Calm Belt has no breeze at all, has no wind at all.
Okay,
don't worry about real science on that. It just has no wind, and also it is a breeding ground for sea kings, which I think we saw one last season. Those are those giant sea monsters.
Okay,
so you can't go through that. You have to row through it. And the sea kings will kill you by the time you do that. So you can't cross the Calm Belt. Would be nice if you could, but you can't.
Okay. So they just go up Reverse Mountain and come down one of the other ways.
Right.
But there's no way to get into Grand Line New World then, except to Calm Belt.
You have to go through the Grand Line. It's a globe, right? So you have to go through the Grand Line Paradise section. The first section of the Grand Line. The New World is the second half of the Grand Line. I am currently in the New World section of the anime.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So you can get there, but you have to go around the long way around.
So wait, which blue are they? Are they between the two comm belts right now?
Yes. That's when they get to Whiskey Peak, they are just into the Grand Line Paradise section.
Okay.
So they're going to go all the way east and then over, you know, to the other side of the map to the New World section. That's their goal. Then they want to get to Laugh Tail, which is the last island in the Grand Line.
Okay. I'm confused. I need to look up more maps.
I'm sorry. No, I've ruined your day here.
Oh, you know me and the geography. Anyway, thank you.
All right. So, first of all, the music.
Gather up all of the crew. It's time to ship out Grace's brew. Sing a song and play along, for all the ocean's wide. After all is said and done, you'll end up a skeleton. So spread your tail from dawn till dusk upon these foamy seas.
What'd you think?
Oh, I'd be your friend too if you sang those songs to me.
I love Laboon in the background too, being like,
yeah, sounds like a dolphin. Yeah.
Did you like that singer's laugh too? Yo-ho!
Oh, very Jolly Pirate.
Yeah. That's a character we don't see till way later in the anime, so I'm excited that they showed him here.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is an earlier introduction. Okay.
Yep. That's an early introduction of a character right there. And everyone who knows who that is had a meltdown, like a good way. So, yeah, we're excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting that the Baroque Works people seem to be especially good at navigating. Like, they seem to be able to get around faster than others somehow, or...
Yeah, there's a special kind of log post we'll talk about in a little while. I think we'll probably get to it in episode 4, so I don't think it'll be a big spoiler. Right now we have the Lord Rep of a log post being the only way you can navigate in the Grand Line. Mm-hmm. If you'll recall, you have to stay on the island long enough for the log post to calibrate to the magnetic field of that island, and then it will lead you to the next island.
So most people then are always visiting in the same order. Or no, because it chooses a random next island? Didn't they say something like that?
No. it does choose the same next island, I think. It was just that this particular, the starting point of the Grand Line, you can choose which island you go to.
Oh, okay.
There's like 5 starting paths, I think they said. But once you're on one of those paths, that is your path. You can't deviate now.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so then you just have to go all the way around to get back to the beginning?
Is sort of. Okay, you know what? I think this is in episode 4, so I'm just going to say this. Okay. There is a thing called an eternal pose, and that mm-hmm. will always be calibrated to whatever island it belongs to.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's a way to get around a little faster.
All right. And then you just need a bunch of those.
You need a bunch of them.
For all the islands.
Yep. So I want to say, like, they've changed a lot in this episode, but I really enjoyed how they nodded to the anime, because you know how they kept going like, what, go inside the whale? That's crazy. Okay, so that's exactly what happened in the anime. Crocus lived inside the whale, and when they got in there, there was like a whole like sky and everything. There was a whole environment because Crocus was a scientist and made that happen. Basically, they were like, why are we on an island? And so Crocus had his little island inside, and he said it was because he couldn't get it. Laboon's skin got too thick, and he couldn't get through the skin for the tranquilizer anymore. So he moved in.
Oh, jeez.
Wild, right? Like, but I love how they do like 3 nods to it.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, I did wonder about that. I'm like, are they going to come back later and he's living inside Laboon? Because they rightfully pointed out that there's a lot of stomach acid in there.
Yeah. So again, yeah, he just did that in the anime. So I think they were just kind of being like, this would be ridiculous in the live action. So we didn't do that, but let's at least like not do it for everybody.
Yeah. Let the man have some sunlight.
Yeah. I did mention here, we, you know, I think episode 337 ish in the anime is where you first actually see the pirates who brought Laboon. So we are really speeding that up here. And then the resolution was a lot different in the anime, whereas Luffy didn't sing to Laboon in the anime. He sparred with him the way that his old pirates used to. And I'm really glad they made this change. I think this works a lot better.
I agree. Yeah. No, you should not just randomly go attacking traumatized animals.
Look, let's punch the whale.
That's not healthy for anyone.
But also, I was glad that, like, it would have seemed ridiculous if Luffy punched him and he just went flying. Now, that is exactly what happened in the anime.
Right.
But in the live action, I think it's harder to sell that kind of, like, tiny boy make big whale move thing.
And it makes Luffy less endearing, too.
Well, it's not like he, like, hit him. It was like, he was like, oh, you want to spar, like the way he was like going near him. And then they, you know, Laboon was hitting back. They were just like playful. They were like laughing while they were doing it. So it wasn't like a violent thing. Okay. But he he's like, all right, you got to keep that on you so that I know where to find you when I come back to spar again. And he's like, yep.
Okay. Well, musical reprise appreciated.
Okay. Also, people had a conniption in a good way when Luffy did that move where he takes his arm up and he like hooks his arm up and keeps walking to the side. That is like a classic anime dance that the crew does every now and then. And I saw somebody on Reddit going, he's doing the thing with a screenshot.
It reminded me of Popeye.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that. They're doing a great job, I think, of threading the needle between fan service for the anime watchers and the, you know, onboarding you, like with the log pose, you slowly talk about that and Baroque works and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't talked about Smoker yet.
Yeah, we haven't really. We didn't talk about their fight. I don't know why I didn't put that in the last part. But let's talk about Smoker.
First of all, did you notice that he's played by the same actor as Galad from Wheel of Time Season 3?
I saw that on his Wikipedia, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, anyway.
And my wife is telling me that he should play Carl in Dungeon Crawler Carl when they do the series because he has the look.
I need to read that. Yeah.
I think you would love it.
I know.
It's very help punk.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, I loved as soon as he showed up with like always two fat cigars. It's so ridiculous. I love it.
Two at a time.
And then I guess maybe, I don't know which of these episodes it was where we find out that he actually, I guess he ate of devil fruit and
smoke fruit. Yep.
Yeah, and so he actually turns into puffs of smoke, which I was like, I should have seen that coming, but I didn't.
Right. He's just, you know, that's why I don't even think the cigars hurt him, because he's just, you know, he's made of smoke.
Yeah. I mean, you would think it would get tiring to hold that in your face the whole time, but it's a look, you know? You got to commit to the look.
Exactly. Once you have two cigars in your mouth, you can't go back.
No. People are going to ask.
I don't think people would recognize him without
you getting soft, boy? Where's your two cigars?
How do you beat that guy, right? Where you have, you can't grab him, you can't hit him. What do you
mm-hmm.
do?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Oh, yeah. And we also found out that Alvida is slippery. She had the slip fruit.
Yes. So, These are two categories of devil fruit, okay? So the kind that alters your body and its properties a bit, like Luffy's stretchy arms and the slip fruit or the chop fruit with Buggy, those are called paramecia-type devil fruits.
Okay.
And they are considered the least powerful or one of the least powerful types of devil fruits. The strongest types of devil fruits are called... Logia style. Sorry, I needed a minute. Logia type fruits. And that's Smoker's fruit. So that is when your entire body can change into a substance.
Interesting. Okay. So does that means he's considered more powerful?
Generally, yes. A Logia-type user is more powerful than a Paramecia-type user.
Okay.
And we still that's why Luffy didn't really stand a chance in that fight.
And so we know that, for example, Miss Wednesday and Mr. Nine are not Devil Fruit users because they swam.
Right. They are not Devil Fruit users. However, Miss All Sunday for sure is a Devil Fruit user.
What that whole thing with the arms and the rosebuds?
Her power is that she can make any part of her body come out of any other surface. It is very OP.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Very, very cool, very creepy. Yeah, and with rose petals. What are the rose petals about?
That they added that for the live action. She didn't do that in the anime. I think it was just a stylistic choice. She always said like trente de fleurs. Like she always did like a French.
Okay.
You know, whatever. However many flowers she was doing, she would. It's like I think her. You know what it is? Her fruit is called the flower fruit. Because she can sprout from anything.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah.
Anyway, I thought they nailed her. I thought she was fantastic and just creepy and scary while also being like badass.
And who's the one who can like fly around with the umbrella? Who like can change her density?
Oh yeah. Oh, the one that shows up in episode 3.
Uh-huh.
That is I have it in the notes here. Miss Valentine.
Oh, okay. Oh, because that's a day. I was wondering why she had she didn't have a day of the week. Okay.
Yeah, you can get a holiday too.
Okay.
They ran out of days.
Yeah, there's only 7.
Right. And there is a Miss Sunday and Miss All Sunday, by the way, cuz All Sunday is a holiday, I think.
Oh. Okay, if you say so. But I wondered why she's not. There's another part Sunday, just Sunday morning.
I guess so. So that's why I say, in general, Paramecia type users are weaker than Logia type users. But Miss All Sunday shows how powerful a Paramecia type user can be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, though, because, I mean, yeah, it's so arbitrary. How do you say that turning into smoke is more powerful than being able to sprout limbs everywhere? So what if somebody harms the limbs that she sprouts? Does she feel that?
I think she does feel it.
Okay.
Yes. I think, based on my knowledge. The reason people consider it more powerful is just that you can't land a hit on the Logia type users. And so no matter how hard you hit, you can't land a hit on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're like functionally impervious to combat.
I guess we haven't met any other Logia users yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but they're coming. Trust me. Right. You're on the grand line now. We got more powerful people coming.
Okay. All right. Can't wait.
And then you'll recall we also have another mystery powerful person that gets Smoker to stop chasing Luffy at the end of episode 1.
Oh, man. I forget now. It's been like a week since I watched episode 1, and I do not know what you mean.
Oh, they actually do name him. I forgot that they named him. That is Dragon, the leader of the Revolutionary Army.
After the fight.
Yes, after their fight, he stops Smoker from capturing him.
Okay, right. He's got, I see pictures of the anime. He's got X's on his face.
Yeah, don't look him up.
Okay, I just looked at pictures.
his full name is a big spoiler.
So. Nope, too late.
Don't do that. Don't look people up. We'll talk about that offline, I guess.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, don't look him up.
Whoopsies.
Oh, they just really put it all out there in just a caption.
Yep. All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll close out this arc.
There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. To dig deeper, to get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about benefits, and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
We're back. Time for some whiskey business, which that's hilarious that they did that.
Yeah, very cute. Very cute.
The Straw Hats reach Cactus Island. They're warmly welcomed by the people of Whiskey Peak, who give them food and drink to their heart's contents. Nami wins a drinking contest with a nun. Usopp and Sanji are lured into a private room by some ladies, and Luffy finds a bakery. Nami and Zoro discover the town is secretly all Baroque works and try to fight everyone off before Mr. Nine and Miss Wednesday can steal the Going Merry. Luffy separately discovers that Mayor Igaram is Mr. Eight, the head of this town, and Luffy is captured by Mr. Eight and Miss Wednesday. The three are intercepted by Mr. Five and Miss Valentine. They reveal that Miss Wednesday is actually Princess Vivi of Alabasta, and Igaram is the chief of Alabasta's royal guard. Igaram sacrifices himself to allow Vivi to escape with the Straw Hats. Miss Valentine kills Mr. Nine for his refusal to betray Vivi, and Miss All Sunday shows up on the Going Merry. I have to call out the biggest miss from the anime with this, and I'm actually glad they took it out because it's kind of exhausting.
Okay.
But the way that this happens in the anime is that they all get drunk and fall asleep. Or, you know, they all eat and drink to their heart's content and fall asleep. Zoro wakes up to use the bathroom or something and sees what's going on, and he fights off like everybody in the town, like knocks everybody out. And then Luffy wakes up and is like, what did you do to these nice people? They were so nice. And then we have like a multi-episode fight between Luffy and Zoro while Zoro's like, shut up, you don't know what's going on.
No.
And then finally they hug and are fine. So I'm glad that we skipped that pointless fight.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm also glad for that. And we still had Zoro still fought everyone off. I like that he was keeping track for us at home, counting.
Very Gimli and Legolas, right?
Yeah, you know,
we gotta count our kills.
Yeah, I'd like to see him team up more. He's kind of a lone fighter. I'd like to see like him and he and Sanji seem to have beef. I'd like to see them team up soon.
You know, in a lot of these fights, basically like Luffy will fight the boss and Sanji and Zoro will fight their like two top lieutenants, if you're British.
Hmm.
And go ahead.
Well, what about the others? Yeah.
And the other, so Nami doesn't start fighting until several hundred episodes in, or like a couple hundred episodes in.
Okay.
And then I'm glad that they gave her fighting style. And then mm-hmm. Usopp is kind of a dipshit at first and finally learns to make his bombs, which he figured out faster here. Like he had some in his original arc too, but like he gets a lot better later and they're already making him a lot more effective right away. So they are giving us more competence of the full crew. Early on in the live action.
I mean, this episode is my favorite of the batch, I guess. Well, you know, it's just talking a lot of game about Laboon, but I like Laboon as a character, but as an episode overall, this one was my favorite so far. And it's funny that I say that because it was so obvious that the island was off, but it was like they intended for it to be that obvious and they kept winking at us where you're like, freaking idiots. Oh God. You know? So it was fun. It was fun that they got to have their party and hang out and, you know, drink with a nun. And then all fighting broke loose. And I found the story. I knew obviously that there was something with who we find out is Vivi Wednesday and Mr. Eight. And I found their story compelling. The fact that he was I guess they had infiltrated this group. Okay, here's my question here. So we talked about how her kingdom is under attack. So she, she and her loyal guardsmen or whatever have infiltrated the Baroque works. But it feels like they've been there for a while. So what's the timeline on that?
Yeah, they've been working, I think, for a year or two on infiltrating because they knew that there. This has been a long-term issue. And somehow, they know that somehow Baroque Works is behind this big impending civil war on their island. And so Vivi made the decision, and he came with her, Igram came with her to protect her, to sign up for Baroque Works so that she could find the identity of their leader and therefore take him down.
Because, yeah, he's the head of the whole island already?
No, sorry, you're saying Mr. Igram 8 is the head of this island. At least this village. Yeah, I mean, he's Mr. 8, right? He's pretty high up there. He's the eighth most powerful man in the organization.
But only after only a year? Like, how quickly does this organization churn through people?
Yeah, it's more about power level than it is about tenure.
Okay.
You know, and if he's very powerful, I did really enjoy his missile hair.
Yeah, that was great. That has to come from the anime, I'm assuming. But that, I love that they did that.
I don't remember if his hair did that, but they did take the me. That was right from the anime. I was like, thank God they kept that. That's so funny.
Well, there was a death. That was a real stake. That was sad. It was like, I knew he can't go with them, but that was sad. He sacrificed himself for Vivi.
Yeah. And now Vivi's got to get back to Alabasta to solve the problem.
I mean, I feel like she's going to be staying with the crew.
We'll see. I mean, they did take a contract to bring her home, right?
Uh-huh. And then we'll see what she finds. Oh, poor Vivi, poor Alabasta. So how many islands away is that? Or is that a spoiler?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
There's a lot coming.
All right. I mean, yeah, because I saw all these like images of new characters that were going to pop up, and we've only met a few of them so far.
Yeah, we are heading towards the first like huge arc, like saga arc. Technically East Blue, which we finished with Loguetown, was its own saga, but It's more of just a bunch of interconnected arcs than it is an overarching story, right? It's just them getting to the Grand Line. We are now fully in, a large arc saga where a lot of things are being set up now that are going to pay off way later.
Okay. All right.
That's all I'll say about that. Mr. Five with his blowing up boogers. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I mean, what? So he also did it with some blood too, right? I guess.
Yeah, any part of his body he can turn into a bomb.
What do you miss most in this series of episodes from the anime?
Ooh, I don't miss a lot, honestly. Like, they did all the key moments. I don't, the problem is I watched this like 2 years ago, maybe three. I watched this part 3 years ago, so I don't remember all of it. I pretty much got everything I wanted. I don't miss anything. I mean, I guess the Luffy v Zoro fight had some cool moments in it, but I think as a let's cut stuff thing, that is like a perfect thing to cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question. I didn't think enough about that before this.
Sorry to spring it on you.
Oh, it's all right.
I mean, I guess I'm justifying to myself that, like, because I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm kind of like, I don't know that I want to dip into the anime while this show is going on.
Yeah, it's tough. I would still recommend it, of course. I would say that what you get more of is just like, traveling and having fun with them, right? Is you get a lot more like character moments and silly gimmicks, right? And you could enjoy Luffy fighting with Laboon. That would be fun. No. I would actually recommend you watch, and it's probably only a few episodes, you watch the Laboon arc, because that would be fun to see, like, the inside of the whale kind of thing. Like, he's just living inside the whale. Of course, you know, everyone's white in the anime for some reason. I don't understand why. I mean, it does not make sense for Vivi to be white, and she is very white in the anime and manga. So I'm glad that they went with a more diverse casting with this.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a whole freaking world.
Exactly, exactly. Especially, like, each island has its own climate, right? We've learned that. And so, obviously, you're going to have different looking people on the different islands.
And apparently the weather changes in the Grand Line constantly?
When you're... Basically, every island has its own, like, weather orbit.
Okay.
And its own, like, weather zone, climate zone. And as you're going past different islands, you can get, like, caught in them.
Okay. I mean, the casting looks so good. We didn't talk about Mr. Nine, but he was great.
he was so sniveling.
Yeah, but he was also at the end, you know, he was like, she's my partner, even if she betrayed you.
I think this guy should have been Gawain in The Wheel of Time.
Yeah, actually, he kind of would have been a good Gawain, yeah.
I think that this show is doing a really good thing that The Wheel of Time took until season 3 to do as well as I wanted it to, which is doing a lot of these, like you said, we got to see their celebration, doing a lot of those, like, quiet moments where they're just smiling and having a good time, and we're getting to see the characters get closer. I think that was done really well in season 3 of The Wheel of Time. Since you already name dropped it, I have to bring it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing that from the get-go here. And that's also part of, like, the differences between what the show is, right? This is a show about found family and about about friendship in the crew. So if you're not doing that, you're not doing an effective job of the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I've been looking at the images of the characters next to their comic counterparts. I'm excited. I hope Mr. Three shows up next. I love David Dasmalchian, and I want to see what they do with this hair.
I think he's definitely coming soon. I think they're saving Mr. Two for season 3, which sucks because I love him. He's my favorite.
And Zero is the leader of them all?
Mr. One.
Oh, One is the leader.
It is Mr. Zero. It is Mr. Okay, Zero. Okay. You're right. He is the leader of them all. And then...
Sunday is second?
They all have their partner. So Miss All Sunday is, like, his partner, you know?
Gotcha. Oh, I'm sad for Nine.
Yeah.
That was another sad death.
He finally found some backbone, and then he was gone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to get into episodes 4 and 5 with you. I don't have a lot more to say about these episodes.
No,
we kind of went all over the place at a certain point, partially because of my poor outlining. So,
I mean, that's
I'll try to do a better job for episodes 4 and 5.
It's anime style, but I guess, yeah, episodes 4 and 5, I'm very curious. If that's going to be, because this is sort of like this, there was a lot of ground covered in these 3 episodes. Like you said, there's almost like 3 mini arcs, one per episode.
Yeah, there's like a rapid fire arc at this point in the story. And then I think season 3 will probably be all one arc.
Okay.
Based on what I know about where they're going.
Okay.
And it's going to conclude what we are currently in a saga.
Okay. And then what?
And then there will be a new saga.
Okay.
That is very cool. It's all hits. It's just, which are better than the others.
Right. All right. All right. Well, yeah, I'm excited. Now I am free to watch the next 2 episodes.
Very cool. All right. Well, we will be back with episodes 4 and 5 next. So make sure you watch those before our next podcast. What else we got going on the Lorehounds Network, Alicia?
Well, we have you and David are doing weekly The Pit coverage. Award season just wrapped up. Yay. But we've got a few things going on for subscribers. Like, we just put out the Warehouse Wars episode. We've moved Mean Girls to this weekend for subscribers. And there's also going to be a Bride in Wuthering Heights, which you watch in double feature special coming soon. And other than that, yeah, it's, oh, the new Into the West series is launching this week with David and Brian and Lisa covering Gene Hackman's filmography. So looking forward to that. And 28 years later, The Bone Temple, we decided we're going to launch the episode when it drops on Netflix on March 31st.
I'm excited for that one. I've never watched 28 Days, Weeks, Years Later, but I have read all the Wikipedia articles, so now I can
listen. So now you're ready. Watch the movies.
Sometimes I just read Wikipedia articles, but I not for things we cover, obviously, but like, yeah. Yeah,
but every now
and then I'm like, I don't feel like watching this whole thing, so I'm just gonna read what happened.
Oh, it's so they're so iconic.
All right,
Weeks. You can skip Weeks. You can skip Weeks, but it does have a strong opening.
Okay. Other affiliate covers, we got Nevermind the Music doing weekly coverage of music and psychology. They just did a mailbag episode, and I think you should all check that out. A lot of fun. Radioactive Ramblings is starting Invincible, and then later this year they're going to be covering The Boys and The Cosmere, but we'll get into that later. And Properly Howard started their Newlywed season. They're checking out a bunch of movies that I still don't fully understand how they picked them, but you don't have to. You could just join them for the laughs.
One of them has to have not seen it, something like that. And then there's extra rules because Anthony loves the complicated drafts.
Exactly. Exactly. A classic Properly Howard draft is occurring. All righty. Let's thank our people. I'll do Discord server boosters if you do the Lore Masters.
Okay.
Discord server boosters. Aaron K., Tiller the Thriller, Dew 71, Athena A., Listu, Nancy M., Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, and Adrian.
Thank you to all of our subscribers, most especially the Lore Master, Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., SC, Peter OH, Nancy M., Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Andra B., Kwang Yu, Nathan T., Sub Zero, Aaron K., Dali V., Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Listu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Kali S., Il Mariel, Paul K., Rocky Zim, Jessica A., Red Zippy, the TCS, Dopamini, Catch It, LNR, Mrs. Tennant, AC Wilson, Eli W., Cassie K., Chumbaruni, Katia, Josh Liu, Paint and PDX, Corey G., Quinch, and Adrian.
Thanks, everyone. We will see you all for episodes 4 and 5 sometime soon.
Do, 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 do.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and comments to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Get ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts on Patreon or Supercast, and connect with us on Blue Sky and join us on our Discord server. Links for everything are in the link tree in the show notes of this episode. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.